The U.S. and its NATO allies have imposed several sanctions on Russia to punish it for invading Ukraine. Here's President Biden yesterday.
We have purposely designed these sanctions to maximize the long-term impact on Russia and to minimize the impact on the United States and our allies.
So far, though, the U.S. is not reaching for the biggest tools in the sanctions box, including a cutoff from global financial payments and oil and gas exports. Let's talk about sanctions now with Michael Regan, senior editor at Bloomberg News. Mike, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So one big sanction the U.S. and its NATO allies have imposed is blocking exports of key American technologies to Russia, including semiconductors. Does that impose immediate or more slow motion economic pain?
I think it would probably be more in the slow motion category. Obviously, semiconductors are used in everything from kitchen appliances to cars.
Yeah.
And in Russia's case, you know, guided missiles and other military equipment. So this is meant to sort of cause some pain in those industries, the aviation industry, and, you know, slow any development or new projects in those areas. But you're right in that it has less of a sort of immediate impact than some of the other financial sanctions in place.
Well, speaking of financial, the U.S. is sanctioning some of Russia's largest banks. You know, what is the pain that might be felt there? Would it hurt Russian banks' ability to process global business transactions?
It really does. It cuts them off from the U.S. financial system, and similar sanctions from Europe cut them off from the European system. You know, it basically forces any U.S. bank or other financial institution to close any accounts they may have with Russian banks and their subsidiaries, and also to stop processing any payments from customers that involve them. They also freeze the assets that Russian banks have in U.S. firms. And there's also a big component on the investment banking side, which basically it blocks U.S. investors from investing in the newly issued debt or equity of many Russian companies. So that just basically means Russian companies and even the government will have a harder time raising money from investors in the U.S. and Europe.
Now, Russia is often called the petrostate. It relies a lot on oil and gas exports. Why are NATO members not, for now, cutting off those?
Well, Europe is just such a huge customer of Russian energy, particularly natural gas. And, you know, so that means not only heating their homes, but also, you know, producing electricity at power plants to run the factories and everything else. So that is a bridge that most in Europe are not quite prepared to cross because of, you know, Russian gas is so crucial to their everyday economy.
Yep. Now, one of the sanctions roads currently not being taken is cutting Russia out of the SWIFT financial system, which, you know, also kind of greases the wheels of transactions. What's the debate there?
Yeah, so SWIFT, you know, if you don't know, it stands for Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunications. It's basically the email system of international banks to send money back and forth.
Okay.
And the concern of not kicking Russia out of that at the moment, it ties back to the energy issue in that if Russia cannot receive payments from Europe, then they could, you know, cut off the supply of energy to Europe. And that's a bridge, like I said, they don't want to cross.
Mike Regan, senior editor at Bloomberg News. Mike, thank you.
Thank you.